Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Tuning the Bow, a podcast focused on the discipleship aspect of parenting. My name is Matthew Wilbanks, and I'm here with my good friend Tim Rose. Tim, how's it hanging today?
Man, I hate to sound like one of those, frankly, just like our students, but not including today, I have 3 days left of work before I'm on vacation for a week. And yeah, I'm pretty excited. Now, for the Tuning the Bow fam, you all know that I don't do vacations like a normal person. So, of course, we'll still record an episode. And there is potential to do another live recording together. We'll record an episode together. But, yeah, I'm on vacation next week for an entire week. And then we start a very hectic summer, My wife told me, she said, the summer of 2023 is very hectic and it will compare nothing to the summer of 2024. Because in addition to all of the things we do over our summer, in 2024, we're going to be adding an international mission trip on that. So You, Matt, you're almost to your international mission trip, correct?
Yes. Within a month from now, I'll be out of the country. So we're getting close.
Man, I'm excited. There are a list of things that I really want you to go do and get, which I know you won't be able to because you're with a group. But yeah. Like, if you cannot find something Top Gear or Grand Tour related, I'm gonna be really sad.
Oh, trust me, I will do my best to, you know, try to take a tram on the greatest, you know, road and all of Scotland. Oh, yeah. And things like that. So I'll try to find things to do, and I'm sure there are other people on the trip that have at least heard of it.
are you gonna take the NC 500 or the piloting extremely nicely in Scotland 287?
You know, that's a difficult question to ask. Number one, considering I don't know what you just said, but also number two, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then thirdly, I don't know. I haven't done research on it yet.
First of all, you have to delete that out then. You don't know what I'm talking about? No. You don't remember the episode of the Grand Tour where they were supposed to do the NC 500, but instead they did a shorter one that they named the Hammond was on James. It's where he broke in his arm.
Oh, right. That's when they're driving the Maserati cars around the track. Yes. I see, that's the difference. You and I have very different forms of entertainment. You almost solely watch British Top Gear and Grand Tour episodes and minor league baseball. And I watch soccer, things on the internet, on YouTube, and different anime shows.
Yeah.
Wildly different.
Well, yes, I think you should go find those things in Scotland, and I hope you have an awesome trip. And we're going to make episodes until then and after.
Yes, and be on the lookout. We might be welcoming our first couple guests or so. We've got some things cooking in the background, but it's just, you know, whether they're able to do it or not. But this is not an episode about fangirling over old middle-aged British men with beer guts that drive cars and make dumb jokes. This is a podcast focused on parenting. Am I right?
You are, though I do think we could do that podcast as well.
We probably could.
and the focus of today is actually, you know, at this time of year, there are graduations. You may have people in your life that have just graduated high school, and that got me really thinking, as I was actually addressing, our graduates' parents, that, you know, in parenting, there are numerous times of transition. And if you're parents kind of like Mary and I are, you probably haven't really experienced one of those yet. But if you have been parenting your kids longer than we have, you know that. And so what we're going to talk about today is really parenting in transitions, how to understand them and how to go through them. So to give you just an idea kind of the transitions we're talking about. So the first period of life is from, you know, birth to about 5 years old. And I would call this the pre-education period. Now, if you're a good parent, you're obviously educating your child during this period, but it's before any sort of real formal education. Mm-hmm. Then we have a transition into the early education period. And this is going to be, you know, kindergarten through roughly fifth grade. This time is marked by a lot of growth mentally. And a lot of our interactions are happening, pretty harmless interactions are happening with other people of our age. And when it comes to our value, self-worth, things like that, most of those aren't even really being thought about. And they're primarily and almost exclusively still coming from our parents or adults above us. Mm-hmm. Then we hit a transition, and this is often, I think, parents' least favorite transition, but that is a transition from early education to secondary education. And by the way, parents, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm not saying, oh, your kids need to be in schools. If you homeschool, this still works. It's still roughly the same ages. But this secondary education happens from about sixth grade to roughly junior-ish year of high school. And at this time, now relationships are key. We're starting to learn much more advanced things, and at points we're actually starting to kind of pinpoint in on what we want to do with our lives. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our value, both perceived and internally, are coming from our friends.
Right.
So we have people who are our age, who are just as educated or just as barely educated as us, who are speaking into what we think. And that means that parents are not normally, and I say normally because I know there are exceptions, but are not normally the number one voice in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a period of transition. Then we have what I would call into early adulthood. And this, you notice that I stopped the last one, junior year, because I think this happens at some point during the senior year. It can happen as early as the beginning of it. It can happen as late as upon graduation. But this is the point where now, well, we're not even really understanding ourselves as a kid. We're seeing ourselves now as an adult. And we begin to have to deal with the decisions and things that adults have to deal with. Parents, your role here changes drastically as really what happens at this point, or what should happen at this point, is much of the authority now goes to the child. That they become an authority on their life, because generally they're not dependent at this point. Now, Matt and I both know that there have been many people, and there were many people we went to college with who were fully still dependent. But at some point from about 18 to 25, this normally begins to wear off. Mm-hmm. And then the last kind of major transition is that transition into just full-fledged adulthood. And this is when your child is now their own adults. Often they may be getting married. They may be having kids. And for sure, they're now looking at career. If they're not already in a career, they're looking at it. And they're establishing themselves. This is, you know, I think the easiest transition for many parents, because not only now do your kids have authority over themselves, but they also have full responsibility, and you get to enjoy life not having to pay for everything and be at everything and make sure everything goes right. And instead you get to watch them. And of course, Matt, as I know you've heard from your parents because of your nephew, at that point, also parents, you normally get to become grandparents, and evidently being a grandparent's 10 times better than being a parent. At least that's what I've heard. But so these are kind of the big earmarks of time. And so the verse that I want to give to base us off, and then Matt's going to give us kind of four groundworking rules to live by. But the verse that I want to base this whole discussion on is Proverbs 9:9, which says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. I think this sets us forth the basis of talking about this, because parents, you've got to be a wise learner who recognizes there's transition and says, okay, I'm going to adapt to the transition. You, in each one of these transitions, your rebellion against your child growing up and your refusal to change your parenting style as your child grows older will only result in fractures to relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want that. So our encouragement is to be a person of wisdom who learns along the way. But Matt, will you give us some of our kind of guide maps on the roadway of transitioning through parenthood?
Yeah. So the first thing, I think it should be obvious at this point, kind of probably what I'm about to say, but through the whole process, we need to be grounded in Scripture. And this comes from John 17:17, and it says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." And this comes from Jesus' high priestly prayer, where he is praying for his disciples and for the people that will follow the disciples' teaching. But all of this is, again, on the basis that God's word is truth. And if we need to be continually sanctified, changed for the better in God's word. And the second is along those lines, is that we don't need to change our convictions. We're not talking about political traditions. We are talking about the tradition of Scripture. And so I want to look at the first chapter of Daniel. And I'm going to read through and jump around this chapter, and I want to kind of point out a few things. And so starting in verse 1, "In the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and laid siege to it." Verse 3, "The king ordered his chief eunuch to bring some of the Israelites from the royal family and from nobility, young men without physical defect, good looking, suitable for instruction in all wisdom, knowledge, perceptive, and capable of serving in the king's palace." And then we move on to verse 6. "Among them from the Judahites were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah." And so then we move into verse 8. And this is kind of where I want to talk about. So we see the context. Babylon has begun to take people out of Judah and put them into the courts of Babylon to pretty much indoctrinate them into Babylonian culture and change their thinking away from their Jewish background to their new Babylonian foundation. And then we get to verse 8. "Daniel determined that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine he drank. So he asked permission from the chief eunuch not to defile it. God had granted Daniel kindness and compassion from the chief eunuch. Yet he said to Daniel, 'I fear the Lord, my king, who assigned your food and drink. What if he sees your faces looking thinner than the other young men your age? You will endanger my life with the king.' And so Daniel said to the guard whom the chief eunuch had assigned to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, 'Please test your servants for 10 days and let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink.'" And so the thing we see here is Daniel knew that what was at the king's table was not necessarily suitable for his Jewish, for the Jewish law. And this is simply because Daniel was a good Jew. He was raised to follow Scripture to every single point that he can, that he possibly can, and this will glorify God. And so when he comes into this moment, he is brought in front of a much more powerful figure than he is and told that this is what he must do. And yet his conviction never changed. And then we get to the end of this chapter, starting in verse 17. "God gave these four young men knowledge and understanding in every kind of literature and wisdom. Daniel also understood visions and dreams of every kind. At the end of the time, the king had said to present them, the chief eunuch presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king interviewed them, and among all of them, no one was found equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And so they began to attend the king." what we can do is we can take what we've learned and what we've been learning over these past, you know, few years or however long we've been in church or been a Christian, and we don't need to go away from that just because the situation changes. We talked about this a couple months ago, but the whole idea of sexuality, when that comes up, your child begins to hang out with certain people and with certain understandings, your conviction doesn't need to change just because you want to show your kid that you love and support them. You can love and support them and still stick to your conviction. And this is what we see Daniel doing. He is not changing his conviction just because he's in a new area, surrounded by new people with new things and different ways of thinking. He is a Jew, and he is going to remain a Jew no matter what it takes. And then, you know, through on the rest of Daniel, you see that same exact thing going. Daniel and his friends, who later became known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they never change. They are faithful to God in every situation. So the first foundation we have is we need to stay grounded in Scripture. And the second is that we don't need to change our convictions. Stay grounded in Scripture and don't change your convictions. The third is James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And this is a reminder for me, because I don't always do this. And when you're coming through different transitions and you don't know where to go or what to turn to, the good thing is there's always someone who is listening to you. So this is James 1, 5 through 8. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like a surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all his ways. And so we're given the task to, whenever we lack wisdom, ask God. But it's always done in faith. It's never done with a, hey, God, I don't know if you can, but could you please help me out in this situation? There needs to be, again, a conviction that we have, that we've been taught, that we've been developing, that if the Lord says that he will give it to us, he is going to give it to us 100% of the time without failure. And we need to remember that God's promises are not broken. If God says in his word that if we ask for wisdom, he will give it because he is willing and able and waiting for us to ask, then he's going to give it to us. And so when we come against times of transition and we don't know how to deal with it, again, you are grounded in Scripture, your convictions stay unchanging, and you go to God and say, how do I deal with this? What do I need to do? And that's the wonderful part of Scripture. Scripture is such a timeless book that it's also not bound to time and circumstances. There are different parts of Scripture that you can read and take things out of these concepts, and you can go, okay, this is how I love my neighbor in this way, or this is how I love this certain neighbor, or how I love in this circumstance. The wonderful thing about God's word is that it is transcendent. It is above all things. You can go into it, read different parts, and apply it in many different special ways, but you won't know how to apply it if you don't have the wisdom that only comes from God. And so the third foundation we have is that we need to pray to God for that wisdom. And then finally, our fourth foundation, while we're talking about prayer, we need to just go ahead and pray for everything. And this comes from Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, keyword with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When you give the things that are on your heart, the troubles, the difficulties, the uncertainties, and the doubts, you give those to God, he will give you back peace. He won't always give you back what you want, but he will always give you peace. And this peace, which no one can explain, you have peace in the wildest of circumstances. this peace from God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And again, how do we know who Christ Jesus is? It's in Scripture, because we are grounded in Scripture. We do not change our convictions. We pray for wisdom when we need it. And while we're at it, we pray for everything we need. And so these are the four basic foundations for dealing with different times and transitions.
Yeah. And so upon those, now we just want to take a brief look at how we walk through those different transitions in life. So, you know, we begin obviously at the beginning. That sounded astute. But we have the first transition, which is that transition from toddler to early education. And I think here, let me lay a big foundation. I know I've talked about this before. Parents, if you are not operating two steps in advance always, then you're behind. And what I mean by that is this: as a parent, you need to be talking with your spouse, preparing yourself for two steps in front of your student, preparing your student for their next step, and enjoying where your student is at right now. Mm-hmm. So when we say to look at this transition, we don't mean to get there and then think about it. We mean, let's think about it before. And so when we deal with, you know, a move to early education, some immediate things that pop up that we need to really contemplate before we do that move is, okay, when we talk about their education, where do we want them to be educated? How are we going to make whatever education option we use, which, you know, education options are like churches. None of them are perfect. Mm-hmm. How are we going to redeem that we can teach our kids to stand on Scripture? Yep. You know, Mary and I are looking at sending our kids to a private school, not because we're rich, but because Mary will be working there. Yeah, it does. but, you know, part of the reason we want to send them to a private school is because we want our school to match the beliefs that we have about the Bible, that it's fully authoritative, that it's useful for teaching, that it's useful for correcting and reproof and training in righteousness. You know, for some, that may not be an option. You may not have a wife who's incredibly talented as a teacher. That's okay. You can still send your kid to a public school, but you're going to have to think, how are we going to take those steps early on to make sure they understand that you're going to learn things at school that may not agree with what the Bible says?
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to take steps to A, know what they learn, but to B, have those conversations about what they learn? That's one of the other reasons that we personally don't want to send our kids to public school, is because I am not in the business of telling my two sons, who are red-blooded males, that if they want to be a female, they can be. Mm-hmm. Because I don't believe that matches God's design.
Right.
That to me is harming my child. Mm. And we don't let people harm our children. So we have to ask that question. We have to ask the question as well when we get into early education. Man, you know, how are we going to begin to teach convictions? How are we going to begin to establish things? You know, even in that early education realm, we want our kids to know that the Bible is God's word, that God is real, mm-hmm. that Jesus is a real person. So how do we make that happen within their education? And then, of course, as we deal with the prayer side of this, the prayer side of this is, okay, they're going to begin to have conversations and relationships built with people. And we've got to begin to pray and say, God, I need you to give wisdom in how they're supposed to build those. As mm-hmm. well, you're going to gain more relationships with fellow parents, fellow, you know, their classmates, parents, things like that. And we as parents have to begin to ask God, hey, how on earth do I make sure that I've put the right people in their life? Your yeah. kid may want to go to birthday parties and sleepovers. Man, God, how are we going to pick the right people to do that with? And so this is how we begin the first transition. Matt, do you have any words on that first transition before I move to the next?
Yeah, it's not reactive. It is proactive. Again, when I was working at Southwestern Seminary's facility maintenance, there was a thing that people would do for maintenance requests, and it was always preventative maintenance. You go and you check, you make things are working just fine. These are the things that we need to do. We need to make sure we're doing preventative maintenance in, you know, again, being grounded in scripture and not changing on our convictions. We need to be establishing ourselves now so that when a situation does arrive, we already know how to deal with it. And instead of reacting to a situation which could cause harm in some way, you could damage a relationship, whether it's your kid or someone, one of their friends or anything like that. That is harmful when you react to a situation. So you need to be taking, doing preventative maintenance now and working towards a solution when a problem arises.
Yeah. And I will say one thing, you know, because as I said, we want to be that two steps ahead. As you move into the early education, I would begin to set a groundwork that you talk to your kids regularly about the relationships that they have with other kids. Yep. And by relationship, please don't hear like dating. I'm talking about the friendships they have. Because when we move to the next transition, as we've already said, that next period of life, those relationships are huge, heavily influential. And if you've set the foundation that you talk about those things openly, then you have a chance that when we get into the secondary education, that you can catch problems before they happen because you've talked about those. And so as we look at that next sort of transition, as we're gearing up for it, as we're in third and fourth grade and getting into fifth grade, we need to begin to be thinking, okay, again, not only, you know, so where are we going to educate them? Because often that can change through. We need to do a self-check. Hey, have we enjoyed the education as we've had it, wherever that may be? But then we got to ask ourselves this question. Not only now, what are the teachers going to tell them as we get into secondary education, but what do the other students and their families look like?
Yep.
Now, look, I am not asking you to be judgmental. I am not asking you to be rude. I am surely not encouraging you to make some sort of stereotypical statements, but it is important to see who those kids that your kids are going to be around are. Especially because at this age, they will be spending time with those kids. They will be spending a lot of time with those kids, and they may often be in other people's houses or in other places around other people's families. It is key to look and see, hey, are these families that I want my kids around? Are these other students that I want them around? You know, if you look at a school, even if it may be a small private school, if you say 90% of the students in that small private school, you would not want to have influence over your kid, just know that they are going to be influenced by those, because in a smaller school setting, that's much heavier influence.
Yeah.
It's a lot more difficult to kind of, you know, go to the good kids. Whereas in a bigger school setting, you would have many more. So we need to be thinking about that. We need to be thinking, okay, now that we're moving into this time, how do we stay grounded in scripture? And so again, we're still thinking, how do we teach scripture? How do we make sure they know it? But how do we stay grounded as we begin to really dive into some big topics? In secondary education, you're going to dive into biology, which is going to lead you to an entire discussion of evolution, which is going to put at the very forefront the question of, did God really create the earth like he said he did? I'm just going to tell you, I would care to bet that it's going to be at least 90% of schools, if not higher than that. Your kid's going to run into people who identify as something other than what God made them at this point. And so you've got to ask yourself, as they're in elementary school, how are we going to start to develop the correct understandings here?
Yeah.
And as a parent, you've got to transition during this period now to, you need to understand that the best way for you to be the biggest influence on your kid is not to walk around touting that you're the biggest influence. You can do that all through elementary school. Hey, you know that mom loves you more than anybody. You know dad loves you more than anybody. You know you can tell us everything. When you get into middle school, when you get into high school, you need to know that they may not be telling you everything. And it's probably not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Now, you want them to tell you the important things, of course. You want them to know that they could say everything. But don't assume that they're your bestie. Because they're not. They're learning how to be friends with other people. They're learning how to gain important relationships. And so what I encourage you to do as a parent is transition from being I'm on top of you, helicopter, if you will, to now I'm more of an old sage of wisdom.
Yep.
I'm here to provide you insight when you get frustrated. It, which, by the way, means that parents, you'll let them get frustrated. Mm. You'll let them struggle. And then you'll say, hey, do you want help? I'm happy to help you. And that's how you continue to gain influence as you move into secondary education. But Matt, what do you think about that move? That's always a fun one. We love that as youth pastors.
Yeah, the one thing that stands out to me is you, as you move into secondary education, you begin welcoming more people into your own home. You become a point of influence, whether great or small, to your kids' friends and their families. The way you interact with the kids' parents, the way you interact with the schools, that is all going to have a shining reflection on whether or not you follow Romans 8:29, and that the goal of our salvation is to be conformed into the image of Christ. If what we do in front of our kids and in front of their friends, in front of their families, in front of their instructors at school, whatever, if that is not a spitting image of Christ as best that we can, because we're not Christ and we're not perfect, but if we falter in any way, which we will get to this in another episode, and we're not willing to ask for forgiveness or forgive others that have hurt us, we're actually doing more harm to our kids, because we teach them, this is what you need to be like, this is who you need to be like, and if we ourselves are not willing to have that image reflect on us, then all we're doing is we're saying things that mean absolutely nothing. These are the things we need to be continually showing and demonstrating, while at the same time teaching them, even to the random kids that come into our own homes. When we do these things, we can leave a lasting impact, and we might be able to share the gospel with unbelievers who just come into our homes. So again, these are things that we need to be working on now that we're able to do when the time comes and we're not reacting to situations.
Agreed. So then during this time, as we're in secondary education, I think one of the biggest, most important things we can do as a parent is transition the understanding of when you screw up, now it looks bad on you. Because all up until this point, if your kid sins, if they mess up, if we're being honest, it looks really bad on us as parents. Looks like we haven't taught them better. But as we get to the end of secondary education, well, nobody thinks that anymore. And that's an important thing for our kids to know, is that, hey, congratulations, here's responsibility. It feels really good. It, when you know how to deal with it, it's awesome. But when you mess it up, it's going to look really bad. And as we get into the transition now of graduation and moving into early adulthood, this is where parents, if you're not a wise sage at this point, I'm just telling you, you're probably splintering a relationship. You've got to say, I'm no longer in the driver's seat of my kid's life. I am in the back seat. And if you don't accept being put in the back seat, then you need to know that you will not be in the car.
Yeah.
And so what we do at this point is we give responsibility. Maybe we still help. Maybe we still give money. Maybe we're still helping out. And with that comes some authority, some, hey, I need to know that you're doing well in school, or hey, I need to know that you're working well in your job. But what we're actively trying to do is rein back in our money, which if you know any parents that have kids this age, they'll tell you they are actively trying to get back their money. But we're trying to take away the authority we have. We're trying to take away the influence so that they can stand up.
Yep.
At this point, they are not just a baby giraffe who can't stand up. They're a regular giraffe that can stand up. Mm. And we have to let them do that. I think this is actually the most crucial transition a parent goes through, is between secondary education to early adulthood. If you mess up the one between elementary and secondary, it can get washed over. This is the one that matters so much, because I hate to tell it to parents, but I will. This is the one where your kid has real things that they can take from you.
Yeah.
And those things are continued relationship, potential relationship with a future son-in-law, daughter-in-law, and potential relationship with grandkids. And if you're not thinking about that as you're parenting them, then you are forgetting some very fantastic things that are ahead. And so we've got to be thinking about that. And then the last transition, I think if you master the secondary education to early adulthood, then the last one's really easy. Because the last one is just the completion of it. It's just, okay, now you're an adult. And now as a parent, you're now really, you're not even necessarily always needing to check in day to day. Often this will be a change in that communication to, hey, you kind of check in when you check in, and you're there to provide wisdom. You're there to say, hey, I remember when this happened. Now you're parenting a parent. And so when you're in that kind of series of life, yeah, you wait to be asked. You need to make sure, though, that at the same point you're showing, hey, I'm always here. I'm here ready for you. And in the meantime, from what I understand from at least my parents, then you just spoil, your grandkids. And it's pretty easy, and from what I understand, pretty enjoyable. So that's kind of how we look at transitions. Matt, this has been an incredibly long episode.
Yes.
But it was also the most structured that we have. So, Matt, what are your closing thoughts? Then I can give my closing thoughts, and we'll be out of here.
Yeah. Tim and I have talked about this before, and he has a different understanding of it than I do. But I think a good way to kind of show the Christian walk in life is by reading through the Pilgrim's Progress. I really love that book. I'm actually reading through it again for one of my classes I'm taking over the summer. And it's just a reminder that when you put a face to a situation, you're able to see what's going on and then have a better understanding of how to overcome it. And I think John Bunyan does a good job with that in the book, The Pilgrim's Progress. And the main character, Christian, encounters all these different things, all these different struggles in the Christian life. But through it all, there is a goal that he's aiming for that's pushing him towards the celestial city. And it is simply going for what is better than what he's in right now. And that's something we need to teach our kids, because Tim and I have experienced a lot of difficulty when we were in college and then now as, young adults, there are lots of things that our parents were able to help us with, but there were also plenty of things that we had to deal with on our own. And so your job is equipper. You need to teach your kids how to work through these things, because then when they get on their own, they can see some of the mistakes that you possibly made along the way so that they can learn and say, hey, I can build upon this, and then I know how to deal with it when this time comes. And you're always, again, you're welcomed to help them through these different things. But your role as parents slowly changes over the years. There's a moment where our parents have both gone, we can't help you with this. You need to do this on your own. Yep. And that's the moment where Tim and I both have matured greatly. For me, I was able to graduate college, and for Tim, he was able to deal with his wife in a fantastic way. There are difficulties you don't understand. You, like, people at home, you don't understand Tim's dating life and how atrocious that was. I was through with him the whole time. It was hard to deal with, even for me, the forever single guy. But at the same time, there was a moment where Tim became who he is today. And it wasn't this instant. It was a slow process of change. And that's what you do as a parent. You allow your kid to experience hardship with the undergirding of Scripture, and they're able to become something much greater than you probably ever dreamed of when you were scrolling through the list of baby names. And there are things that God sets us up for that are so much greater than we could ever think of. But the problem is, a lot of us avoid that path. And what we need to do is we need to say, God, you are the one in control. I am the one who is just along for the ride.
Yeah. And I think, my last words in this would be, you know, just back to the beginning, parents, the more you learn how to adapt your parenting, the better off your relationship will be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk all the time about the goals of parenting. And one of the kind of underlying goals that we haven't really mentioned much is that you have a continued relationship.
Yep.
You know, it's impossible to teach them to do the things of the Lord if they don't want to speak to you and they don't speak to you. Part of understanding transitions in really this discussion is for you to release and possibly not run into animosity that could arise.
Mm-hmm.
And so our encouragement for you is the more you're willing to think about, okay, what's the best way to do these things? How can we best transition? The less likely you are to run into problems. Because on the flip side of these, if you're treating your 21-year-old son or your 20-year-old son like they're a seventh grader, they will rebel.
Mm.
If you're treating your ninth grader like they're a third grader, they will rebel. And when rebellion comes, there often becomes just much strife. And so our encouragement would be find the ways that you can adapt and be looking ahead for where the end of the road is. But yep. This has been, yeah, again, a long episode. We thank you so much for listening. And yeah, we will see you again then next week.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.